17. I want to ask you something.
Harry sighed.
I may not want to answer. Do you think I'm crazy?
Harry paused. Obviously not quite what he was expecting. He took a while to reply.
I think when something terrible happens, we all deal with it in different ways. We find something that helps us cope.
He coughed, cleared his throat.
Evelyn volunteers now at a shelter for abused women.
Really?
Gabe couldn't keep the surprise out of his voice. He found it hard to imagine the perfectly coiffed, starchy conservative with the small and big C. Evelyn, lowering herself to mix with the desperate and disadvantaged. But then, maybe she'd changed.
Things had got quite bad,
Harry said.
She took some pills.
That didn't surprise him. He remembered the pills Evelyn had given him before the identification. Throughout everything, for as long as he'd known her, Evelyn had always been in control. Even at the funeral, she didn't cry. Not really. Oh, she dabbed her eyes, she sniffed, she popped eye drops. But proper snot dribbling down your chin wailing. No. She kept it all in. Kept up her composed facade. But you can only button yourself inside that chemical straitjacket for so long before you realize that your jailer is you, and there is only one way of release.
Anyway, Harry continued, it seems to have helped her, knowing she is doing something positive for other women and children.
I'm glad she's found a vocation.
A thin smile.
It takes her out of the house. I sometimes wonder if that's her real motivation. If being with me, together, reminds her more.
His voice cracked a little. He coughed again. Harsh, guttural. Gabe wondered again about his sudden agedness, the limp. If he still had the expensive cigar habit.
What about you?
Gabe asked.
What do you do? I keep myself busy. Golf, gardening. I'm learning archery.
Gabe raised an eyebrow.
Right. I'm not sure if it's coping or distraction, but we do what's necessary to get by.
I suppose.
What I'm saying is, I understand that this obsession of yours is your way of coping. I don't think you're crazy, but I do think it's desperately unhealthy.
Thanks.
Until you accept that they're dead, both of them, you'll never move on with your life.
Maybe I don't want to.
Your choice, but you're still young. It pains me to say it, but you could meet someone else, have more children. It's too late for Evelyn and me, but you could rebuild your life, a fresh start.
Fresh start.
Like life was a carton of milk. When one went sour, you threw it out and opened another.
I want to help you, Gabe,
Harry said in a softer voice. The one Gabe imagined he used to use with his patients when he told them that their test results were back and the news wasn't good.
I know. That's why I called you.
Harry nodded.
Well, if I can do...
I found the car.
Gabe took his phone out of his pocket. He had taken several photos the other night. They were a bit grainy, the flash whiting out a lot of detail, but they showed most of what he needed. The car. From several different angles, boot closed, the stickers. Harry peered at them and frowned.
Do you see?
Gabe said, unable to contain the slight desperation in his voice. He needed Harry to believe him, he realized. Needed vindication.
I see a rusted old car in a lake.
Gabe zoomed in on the screen.
See the stickers?
Harry peered more closely and gave a small shrug.
Maybe. I couldn't be sure.
It's the same car, Harry. The one I saw that night.
Harry sighed.
Gabe, maybe you did see a car with a little girl in it. Maybe this is the same car, but it wasn't Izzy. He made a mistake. It was dark at a distance. Little girls that age can look alike. It was another little girl who looked like Izzy. You must see that.
No.
Gabe shook his head. He took the folder out of his pocket and shook out the hair bobble, holding it up for Harry to see.
I found this. It's Izzy's.
Harry stared at the bobble, and his lips thinned.
Okay.
Gabe took out the notebook, pulling out the map with it, and then somehow managing to drop them both on the ground. He bent and snatched them back up, frantically brushing off the dirt.
What about this?
He opened the notebook.
Does this mean anything to you? The other people?
Gabe, this has gone far enough.
No! Everyone is always telling me that I must be mistaken, but what about you? What about Evelyn? You said yourself that little girls that age look alike. What if it wasn't Izzy you identified? What if you were mistaken?
You really believe that I wouldn't recognize my own granddaughter?
You believe I wouldn't recognize my own daughter?
They glared at each other. Stalemate. Harry's face was calm, but Gabe could tell that behind his eyes there was a lot going on. Harry was not a stupid man. He never spoke or acted without considering all outcomes.
Just think for a minute about what you're suggesting, he said. For me to have wrongly identified Izzy's body, there would have to have been another body, another dead little girl. Who is she? Why has no one reported her missing? What you're saying makes no sense, even if I was mistaken, which I was not.
Gabe could feel his conviction wavering. Harry was good at that, being convincing. His calm, measured tones, his logic, his reasoning. Trust me, I'm a doctor.
This hair bobble, Gabe, could belong to any little girl.
It's Izzy's.
Okay, then maybe it's Izzy's. Maybe you kept it. Maybe you have convinced yourself you found it in the car.
What?
Not consciously.
You think I'm making this up?
No, I think you believe it, and that's the problem. That's why you need help.
Gabe snorted out a laugh.
Help? Right.
I have a friend who you could talk to.
I bet you do. Let me guess, nice plush office and a ready prescription of happy pills.
Gabe,
I don't need a psychiatrist. I need you to tell me the truth about that day.
This time, Harry's face did change. The bushy eyebrows furrowed, the blue eyes darkened.
You're accusing me of lying about the identification.
Gabe didn't reply. He had tried to think of other explanations. Harry and Evelyn didn't see their granddaughter that often. Another bone of contention between them and Jenny.
They live 2 hours away, not on the bloody moon.
It must have been at least 3 months since their last visit. They hadn't even seen her on her birthday. Kids grew fast at that age. Izzy had had her hair cut, lost a tooth. Was it possible, in Harry's grief, in the messy confusion of that day, that he had got it wrong? Terribly, hideously wrong. And now he was too scared to admit it. Or was there another reason? He still couldn't say it. Still could not accuse Harry of something so awful, so unthinkable. Because to do so raised so many other questions, not least why. Why? Why?
If I was a younger man, I'd punch you in the face for that,
Harry muttered. He'd like to, Gabe thought. But there was the rub. Harry was not the man he used to be. He had aged in a way that had nothing to do with the march of time. Grief did that to you. Added decades in a day. He recognized the ache in his own weary bones. Sometimes he felt like a ghost already, draped in the skin of a man who had once lived.
I'm sorry, he said.
Harry shook his head. The fight that Gabe had seen fleetingly rise in him, subsiding again.
No, I'm sorry. I always hoped you'd eventually snap out of it, see sense. I even hoped that you would find the damn car and realize you were wrong. But it seems that's not going to happen.
He reached into his inside jacket pocket and took out an A4 envelope folded in half.
Hope is a powerful drug, believe me. I've seen it work miracles in my patients. But there's a difference between hope and delusion. That's why I'm giving you this. Evelyn wanted you to see it before. I didn't want to hurt you, but it's time, Gabe.
What is it?
The post-mortem report.
Gabe felt a hollowness opening in his stomach.
I read the post-mortem report. There's nothing in it that says the body is definitely Izzy's.
Harry sighed.
Age, weight, hair color, even the missing front tooth.
We'll leave it under the pillow for the tooth fairy.
It all matches. But you don't want the truth. You want to cling to a fairy tale.
He placed the envelope down on the bench between them and stood slowly.
I think it's best if we don't meet again for a while.
Gabe didn't reply. He was barely aware of Harry leaving. He stared at the envelope as if it were an unexploded grenade. Of course, he could leave it. Not look. Burn it, throw it in a bin. But he knew he wouldn't. He picked up the envelope and opened the flap. There were two sheets of paper inside. He slid them out. Lines of black type blurred before his eyes. Impenetrable medical terms. But some words stood out. Gunshot wounds. Artery. Perforation. Organ damage. He laid the papers to one side. There was something else inside the envelope. He tipped it up. Two Polaroids fell out. Jenny and Izzy. Just their faces. Green sheets pulled up to their necks. Morgue photos. He heard a noise, like a moan. One of the undead. He realized it was him. How the hell had Harry got hold of these? But then Gabe supposed he was a doctor. He had contacts. Gabe reached for the picture of Jenny. Her face was pale, waxen, unfamiliar in death. And yet he knew it was still the face he had once stroked, kissed, loved, dreamed of. He put the photo to one side and forced himself to pick up the second one. Izzy's face was perfect, unblemished. She looked like she was sleeping. A cold, forever sleep. He stared so hard his eyeballs burned. No mistaking. Izzy. His Izzy. He started to cry. He cried until he thought his eyes must surely be squeezed from their sockets. He cried until his chest hurt and his throat felt like he had been gargling ground glass. He bawled like a child, letting snot flow freely, scrubbing at his face and nose with his sleeve. Evelyn wanted you to see it. It's time.
Are you all right, love?
Gabe glanced up. An elderly woman stood in front of him. Dirty white hair, skin crinkled into flaccid folds. Her body was bowed by osteoporosis and she wore a stained beige raincoat. Gabe caught a whiff of musty, stale urine. She pushed an old silver cross pram, more rust than silver now. Instead of a baby, a cat was curled up inside it, a large tabby with surly green eyes. It reminded Gabe of their grumpy old cat, Schrödinger. Not that he was ever called that. Izzy couldn't pronounce it, so his name became Soda. After Gabe moved out permanently, their neighbors had taken him in. Gabe was glad. He'd never really liked the mean old Tom. One minute he would be purring, the next his claws would rake down the nearest bit of exposed flesh.
Here you go, love.
The old woman held out a crumpled pack of Kleenex. Her nails were embedded with black dirt. His first instinct was to tell her to go away, but then his resolve withered in the face of her small act of kindness.
Thank you,
he croaked, taking one and handing the packet back.
You keep it.
She shuffled away. He rubbed at his eyes and blew his nose. Then he picked up the photographs and slipped them carefully into his wallet.
He had been so sure.
and they had found the car. But what did it really prove? And the body? Maybe best not to think about that. Could he even trust the Samaritan? Perhaps Harry was right. He needed help. If not, maybe he was destined to end up like Kleenex Lady, shuffling around a cemetery smelling of stale piss and wheeling his very own cat in a pram. And then something poked him in the back of his mind. Hard. The cat. Not the cat in the pram. Their cat. Schrödinger.
Daddy, soda scratch me.
Izzy's tear-stained face. An ugly red line on her chin. Gabe had applied Savlon. There you go. Or better. But the scratch had still looked sore when he dropped her off at school. That morning. Before the phone call. Before his life fell off the edge of a cliff. Gabe fumbled the photographs back out of his wallet. He peered at the one of Izzy's more closely. He squinted, held it up this way and that. He could see her eyelashes, the faint freckles on her nose, every detail laid bare in the unforgiving light. There was no scratch on her chin. Of course, when you're young, scratches heal quickly, but not in a few hours. Gabe was no doctor, but he knew that. And he knew something else. They didn't heal when you were dead.